WBAI 99.5 FM. That was a rebroadcast of the evening news. Stay tuned for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade here on listener-supported, non-commercial, still under siege, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, opening with a little bit of medieval music because I am in the mood for it tonight for reasons which will become apparent shortly. That was entitled Judentanz, Two Jewish Dances, from the album, well, it's in French. I'm not going to embarrass myself trying to pronounce it, but it translates as Songs of Exile, Jewish Musicians in Europe, 1200 to 1600, by the Boston Camerata with Joel Cohen. And perhaps we will hear some more of that as the evening progresses, as well as some other esoteric tidbits. And I must confess that, well, let's see, now it was 2 weeks ago that Anne-Marie Hendrickson, my co-host here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and I should say that I am Bill Weinberg, and I am in the studio with Bob McGill, and Anne-Marie is taking a sick night. But I believe it was 2 weeks ago that Anne-Marie did her riff on The Lord of the Rings, a classic of something which had become sort of a classic for us hippie types back in the 60s and 70s. Now, a major motion picture. So, of course, it is incumbent upon us to provide our erudite commentary and analysis. And I must confess that I really wanted to do that tonight. I wanted nothing more than to talk about Middle Earth this evening. And generally, I would like nothing more than to abandon momentarily, just for a few days, all of the hard work that I have been doing, particularly in terms of around opposition to the war in Afghanistan and U.S. imperialist intrigues in Central Asia, particularly the weekly newsletter that I've been putting out for now 15 consecutive weeks entitled World War III Report. And, of course, the continuing crisis here at BAI, which continues to eat up so much of our attention. I would like nothing more than to take a little vacation from this and reread The Lord of the Rings from cover to cover and go to the source material and immerse myself in Norse and Celtic mythology. I would like nothing more than to do this. Alas, circumstances do not allow. And indeed, there has been another inflammation of the permanent crisis at WBAI, which it is incumbent upon us to address. More incumbent upon us, far more incumbent, in fact, far more urgent in its incumbency than for us to provide our erudite commentary on the Lord of the Rings movie. Because if we do not have continued access to these airwaves, of course, we're not going to be able to comment on anything whatsoever. And the further irony is that, of course, being, you know, guardians of free speech on the airwaves, we put ourselves at risk of losing our access either way. But eternal vigilance is the cost of freedom. And if you aren't willing to exercise free speech, there's no point in having the purely academic right to free speech. Rights which are not exercised are irrelevant. If you don't exercise your rights, you have already lost them. So, our last chance to save WBAI Radio, the leaflet reads, this is my one announcement for the evening. The Pacifica National Board will be meeting in New York City, January 11th through 13th. Wait a minute, I do have one other announcement. I do have one other announcement, forgive me. There's been another outbreak of, before I get to the BAI stuff, there has been another, a further escalation of the racist attacks on Staten Island. All right. Actually, this rally is not going to be happening until Martin Luther King Day, which is the 21st, so we're going to have another opportunity to announce it. But this time, a pizza place, which was owned by the same owner as the delicatessen, I believe, which was hit a few weeks ago, or like 2 weeks ago. Pakistani-owned pizza place this time was vandalized, bricks thrown through the windows out on the Concord area of Staten Island. So on MLK Day at 4 p.m. at Borough Hall, there is going to be a protest initiated by workers' struggle against anti-Muslim terror on Staten Island. So please, if you're on Staten Island, please be there 4 p.m. MLK Day at Borough Hall. If you want more information, you can contact Gary at 718-984-9429. And I hope it was okay to read that over the air. But to To continue, our last chance to save WBAI Radio. Pacifica National Board will be meeting in New York City January 11th through 13th. Despite what you may have read, the struggle to reclaim WBAI 99.5 FM and the Pacifica Radio Network is far from over, and in fact has reached a critical stage. The new interim Pacifica National Board is meeting in New York next weekend, and it may be our last chance to take back our station. It's vital that a large and diverse group of listeners and community activists turn out to demand the board reverse the Christmas coup at WBAI and bring back the fired and banned now. The event will be open to the public and run from Friday evening, January 11th, to Sunday afternoon, January 13th, at a location to be announced shortly. There will be an opportunity for public testimony before the board from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, and plenty of other chances to demonstrate support for truly progressive free speech community radio. Since December 22nd, 2001, the Pacifica management has fired, banned, suspended, or driven from BAI's airwaves well over 30 of the station's most politically progressive and activist voices, many of them people of color. It's time to bring them back home. This is about media, politics, and movement. Let's take our station back together. Call the Concerned Friends of WBAI hotline at 1-800-825-0055 for the latest updates. Or log on to www.wbaiaction.org. And I see that we have a telephone call. Let's take it, Bob. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Bill?
Okay.
Good.
Do you wish to identify yourself, caller?
Well, this is one of the fired and banned, one of the first of the fired and banned.
Indeed.
Bernard White.
Our once and perhaps future program director.
I think that that's going to be the case. I think that this struggle is in the waning moments. We still need to apply some pressure to Pacifica to make sure that that what has been put in motion is being carried out. At BAI, there's been some real resistance to the inevitable. The board made a decision that Democracy Now! Was supposed to return to the airwaves this past Monday.
A decision which had the power of a court order behind it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And a decision was made at WBAI by, I guess, the station manager that it would not be aired, that Democracy Now! Would not be aired. In addition to that, and in addition to not airing it, they went on the air. And when I say they, I mean Clayton Riley and Paul DiRienzo and Jabel Fine went on the air to mischaracterize or create a story about why it shouldn't have gone on the air.
Well, first, perhaps we should make clear that it went on the air at all four of the other Pacifica stations.
Yes, it did.
Except for here at BAI, where it's actually based and produced, or should be.
Well, just a couple of blocks from WBAI.
Right. It was for many years produced at BAI before it was driven out.
Right.
Through harassment.
Yes. And on that program that morning, I was on... According to, maybe I should go last because Clayton Riley said I was put last as an afterthought. But Leslie Kagan, Michael Moore, Juan Gonzalez, and I were both on the program, along with Dick Gregory.
All interviewed on Democracy Now!
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Dick Gregory and Noam Chomsky. It was Dick Gregory, actually, who at the board meeting raised the issue and made it possible for BAI, for Democracy Now! To come back. He departed from the old clique, and said that he thought that Democracy Now! Should be aired again, and that he missed it, and that he got a lot from it, and it should be back on the air. So it was a board mandate that this program, Democracy Now!, come back on the air, and BAI right now is in violation of that mandate.
And Amy Goodman's voice and your voice and other guests that she interviewed were aired on KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK in Los Angeles, and the Houston station and the Washington station, but not here in New York City.
No, not here in New York City,
which
is a real shame. I thought it was a good program. What has happened over the last 13 months is only one set of ideas primarily has been presented. You and some other folks, and you become a dwindling group. I think you're one of the last that are left. You and some other folks have begun to raise some questions about, you know, just what has been happening at WBAI. But for the most part, the listeners have been hearing just one side, no opposition, and it has really gotten nasty. It was nasty around this time last year, and it seems like it's picked up the same kind of tempo that we had last year. One of the things that really disturbs me, though, is the newsroom. It appears that, you know, the newsroom was almost a hallowed ground, but the newsroom now is seen to be used as a place where hits are being made.
Hallowed ground in terms of being above the fray and maintaining some distance?
Above the fray, maintaining its distance and maintaining its integrity. I think it began to really, it was really challenged when Utrice Lead, there was a hearing at City Hall where the issue of WBAI resolution was brought up at City Hall about the WBAI. And the newsroom was told, Jose Santiago was told by Utrice Lead, that he could not cover it. And he did not cover it. And then yesterday, Paul DiRienzo took excerpts from Democracy Now and did a real...
I'm sorry, was that this morning or yesterday?
That was this morning.
Right.
These are running into each other.
Yeah, Democracy Now! Aired yesterday.
It aired yesterday.
And then this morning they did the ostensible news slot about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where they took excerpts and just mischaracterized what was taking place during that broadcast.
All right. How do you feel that they mischaracterized it?
Well, they tried to give the impression that this action that was taken by the board was an action that they did not have to follow. One of the people who also wound up being on the program, because a call was made to the station while Democracy Now! Was on, was Jabel Fye. And when he came on, he first said that there was no memo or no nothing written that came into the station. Then he was pressed by Michael Moore, and he did confess that, yes, in fact, there was a memo, but it came from Leslie Kagan. So Michael said that, look, Leslie Kagan is the member of the board. He said that it only came from Leslie. It didn't come from Pacifica, which is, you know, just defies logic. Leslie, as the chair of the board, cannot take independent action. And if she did, she would have to be disciplined by the board. So they did receive a memo from Leslie stating that what the board decision was. In addition to that, I think the executive director of Pacifica also told all of the station managers that this decision was made and that Democracy Now! Was supposed to be on the air. And Jabel Fye just said that, you know, they didn't get anything that was official. I don't know how more official you can get than the executive director and the chair of the board notifying you. And then this morning, Clayton Rowley said something that was quite bizarre, that all of the board members should have also signed the paper. That just didn't make any sense at all. And he and Jabel and Paul just spent the whole morning, as often happens in the morning, instead of dealing with issues, they spent the morning just taking swipes at those folks that are fired and banned. It's funny that after, it's not funny, it's just indicative of the kind of listenership that we have, that 13 months after this, or almost 13 months, that people are still raising questions about what took place on December 22nd of last year. Because it's the kind of action that our listeners have been following for years. They understand coups. They understand that there's nothing noble about coming in the middle of the night and changing locks and firing people and then systematically beginning to eliminate freedom of speech at WBAI.
Well, I know that there's sort of been this atmosphere of official optimism in the opposition movement, as it were, over our recent court settlement. But, you know, I mean, as always, I've sort of been very skeptical and a little pessimistic about the whole thing, because it seems that, you know, it doesn't change the power structure here at BAI. Until that happens, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the United Nations can pass all the resolutions it wants about some little dictatorship somewhere. But as long as the dictatorship is in power, it doesn't matter what kind of resolutions the UN passes, if you get my analogy.
Well, I do, and I think that there is need for help. The skepticism at this point is still healthy, because I think that we need to keep the pressure on. Now is not the time to take the pressure off, that we have moved it to this point, to the point where most of the bandits that were on the national board, those corporate minds, have gone, and that we've gotten a new configuration, and there is a part of this is has to go to the in fact, the Judge Sabra, who's the judge who presided over the settlement, is has in his hands right now one of the issues, in fact, the establishment of a committee to deal with the situation at WBAI, which he's going to make a ruling on tomorrow. And a lot depends on the kind of ruling that he makes. It is believed by those who were involved in the settlement that he's not going to go against a majority vote. Part of the settlement was that they had something called a balanced majority, which meant that in any vote that they had to get a member from all of the sides involved in the vote in order for it to be valid.
Of which there are basically three. Do you care to briefly delineate them?
Yes, there are three different sides. There are five, which is one member each from the local advisory boards. Then there are the five people who were the previous minority on the board, and then there are five from the old majority. So they make up, they compose the 15 members of the board. And I think the vote to set up a WBAI committee was 9-6, but it didn't have any members from that old majority group. So that had to go to the judge. So now he has to make a decision on whether or not this is going to be, or how this is going to be set up. And just being hopeful that those who engage in the settlement are correct, that the judge will not go against a majority vote. We'll have to see just what happens on that.
Meanwhile, while all this is pending, the situation here at the station continues to get more grim.
It does.
And we've already, just since the settlement, we've, at least for the moment, lost Bob Fass. We've lost David Rothenberg. Radio Free Erin has now been suspended for, 2-3 weeks in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently yesterday, when Democracy Now! Was mandated to return to the airwaves here at BAI, it did not.
Right. I mean, and you left out two people. There was Basir and Chawe, as well as Mike Fader, have also been suspended.
Ah, yes. Forgive me.
So there is a cleansing that is going on that is only exacerbating the situation, and it's going to get worse. But these are the desperate attempts to try and forestall the inevitable, and I do think it is inevitable that this is going to turn around. It has gotten pretty nasty what is going on, and this kind of defiance will not be able to stand. First of all, you know, there's a lot of talk about this $1 million. They keep throwing up this term, $1 million, and it does have some emotional currency.
Well, that refers to what?
It refers to the amount that's being claimed to have been raised at the last fundraising effort.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really take a look and analyze that $1 million, it took them 25 days to raise this $1 million, if in fact it was raised. It also took the bombing of the World Trade Center to bring that about. Now, all of non-commercial media experienced a bump in their ratings, a bump in their income as a result of this. I mean, but we raised the previous October $970,000, and we stopped at the time that we said we were going to stop. We said we were going to do it, raise money for 15 days. We did it for 15 days. We wound up with 970. No war, no major tragedy. We just did it with what we consider to be, and I guess what the listeners consider to be, good programming. They wound up focusing on just one individual. They came across something that they felt was pretty hot, and they just kept driving it home and wound up raising, according to them, $1 million. But I do believe that if all of the fired and banned people were there, we probably would have done twice that amount, because we would have had the new listeners that came on as a result of BAI being one of the only radio stations on right after the tragedy, because a lot of the FM stations had their transmitter on the World Trade Center. So as a result, they were off the air, and BAI was one of the few radio stations on. So they wound up picking up a lot of listeners, and we always pick up a lot of listeners when there is a tragedy. We would have had those listeners in addition to the listeners that have been supporting WBAI all of these years. And I really do believe that we would have done probably about $2 million. But, you know, this tragedy at WBAI, I really do believe, is coming to an end, because the listeners have made it so. The Pacifica campaign, of which I've been working with over the last, I guess the last 11 months or so, has been given a lot of credit for bringing this to where it is. But we're not the ones who are really doing this. We're just like we centralize the activities and the thoughts of a lot of the listeners. Because many listeners, after they saw what happened to WBAI and they recognized that Pacifica was moving in a direction of beginning to eliminate or depart from the mission, that they decided that they were not going to participate in that, they were not going to finance it. And although, you know, the fired and the banned, a handful of disgruntled staff members gets blamed for it, we're not the ones who were giving all of the money to the station. It's the listeners who stopped giving their money, who decided that they were not going to finance this kind of behavior. And they are the ones who brought this all to the bargaining table. And now we do have a settlement. It is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a beginning. We will begin to get be able to take a look at the finances. It's believed that Pacifica is now in debt up to from $3 to possibly $4 million, and they're finding it very difficult to pay the bills, to pay staff, and at some point something has got to give. And we see that the programming has changed. One of the things that Eutrice Lee said when she came to the air right after the coup was that there would be no changes in programs.
Yeah.
And programs have dramatically changed. In the morning, now, where we used to try and take a look at what was happening around the world and show its relationship to what's going on here domestically, for the most part, there's, you know, folks just get on and talk. Just get on and take phone calls. There's no real investigation. There are over 49 wars going on around the world, and there's no talk about it. There's no talk about the U.S.'s participation in it. There's no real education for the listeners about how their tax dollars are being misspent. And these folks are just talking to each other and talking bad about their former colleagues.
Well, let me ask you a couple of tough questions then. I mean, I actually did not hear the news report about why management here at BAI chose not to air Democracy Now! Yesterday, but I understand that their point was that Democracy Now! Was dealing with the crisis. That's what the show was dedicated to. It was dealing with the internal politics of BAI, and that would not be appropriate for broadcast. So am I correct that that was the point they were making?
That's pretty much the point that they were making. Yes, the crisis was dealt with, but that's part of the problem. As I was saying earlier, that there has been no talk. It would be very difficult for Democracy Now to be off for 6 or 7 months and then come back and not have anything to say about why they were off or about what conditions brought about their return. So there was some conversation about that. But in addition to that, there was conversation, there was a report from Protat Chatterjee, former reporter at WBAI, where he was talking about what was taking place over in the region of Afghanistan. There was also a conversation with Noam Chomsky, who was talking about the so-called war, what he called the so-called war in Afghanistan. So nestled in between that was also a discussion about the settlement and what people can expect. So none of that, you know, it was just totally mischaracterized in the little hit job that Paul DiRienzo put together. And he had the participation of the station manager that's there now, Bob Daughtry, who came on and said something about people not knowing, you know, the board not knowing about how good radio is done. And all he had to really do was click the switch.
Let me ask you another devil's advocate question, if I may. I mean, the point which we in the opposition have always made is that what we stand for is local autonomy for the station and for station management having the right to make its own decisions without them being mandated from above by the Pacifica National Board. So this would appear now to be something of a reversal of that principle.
Well, if you consider their presence at the station right now to be legitimate, then that would be the case. It's almost like, somebody comes in and kicks you out of your apartment, and then when you try and get back in, they try and set up the rules for you that, well, no, you can't come back in because you got to have another lease now. These people that are there, Bob Daughtry, his presence was illegitimate, as well as Utrice Lee. They were placed there in violation of an agreement that was held between WBAI and Pacifica, which said that in order to move a station manager, that you need to do that in consultation with both the staff at WBAI as well as the local advisory board. And that was violated. So their presence there is illegitimate. And what they have to do now is go back. And my feeling is that they have to go back. They have to reverse what was done. And we really need something coming from Pacifica saying that they will never in the future violate the autonomy of the local radio stations, because, as I said, their presence there is illegitimate, so their claims are also illegitimate.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm almost hesitant to broach this one, but perhaps we've already gone way out on a limb tonight, merely by having you on these airwaves.
That's true, isn't that something?
Yes, we have very little to lose. But, I mean, you've repeatedly invoked the ugly atmosphere which has prevailed here at the station. And it has to be said that a part of that ugly atmosphere has been the racial cards which have been played on both sides, perhaps. I would just be interested in hearing your response to something which has actually been said over the airwaves on this show by some of our callers, that the black men and women who have been purged from these airwaves over the past year since the coup are Uncle Toms.
Well, you know, there are certain words that trigger a particular kind of response. And when you talk about playing the race card, that's what the race card is. That you're playing these words, you're using these words to try and get a particular type of response. And I was not considered that until December 22nd, when it became convenient to use that to try and justify why I should have been removed. But even being an Uncle Tom is no reason to fire them. It may be a reason not to like somebody, but it is no reason to fire them. The race card is continually played. It's being played now, where if you listen very carefully to Marjorie Moore in the morning, she is calling on the black listeners, the Latino listeners, to come out and provide an opposition to the legitimate demands of the Pacifica National Board. And this has been done to divide the community. One of the things that we attempted to do in recognition of the mission of WBAI was to always be as inclusive as possible. I don't think that there's anyone who can say that prior to December 22nd that the doors were locked, that the community could not come up. We had people who, the doors were open all the time, and people could come up from all different communities. We tried to be as inclusive as possible in terms of the air. There was still a lot of work to be done, but we were moving in that direction, and I think the numbers and the listenership, which was going up at that time prior to the coup, the subscriber base, which was going up at that time, the revenue, which was going up at that time, is a testimony to our really reaching out, as David Dinkins would say, to approach this marvelous mosaic, which is New York. And our attempt was to try and bring in all of the various communities around New York. And now there's just been a concentration on trying to bring in the black community. And it's been painful to watch the deconstruction of the direction in which we had have been going, but you know, it doesn't bother me when you look at the people who are saying that. The people in the community, for the most part, know who I am. I'm not a stranger to the community. I've been involved in a lot of community struggles. I've been involved in bringing a lot of community forums together. So you know, I don't really worry about that, and people can tell from the work that we do, the work that we did, that is not the case. And if you know the people who were around me, people like Janice K. Bryant and people like Sharan Harper and people like Errol Maitland, we didn't all become Uncle Toms all of a sudden, you know, which is how we're being characterized. We understood that we work together with everybody, and these folks don't do that. They don't work with everybody, and I'm sure that you can feel the pressure of that since December 22nd, even in your dealings with them.
All right. There's some events happening this week that perhaps our listeners should know about.
Well, I don't have the address as of yet, but there will be a board meeting in New York. It's
Pacifica National Board meeting.
Pacifica National Board meeting is long overdue. It should have been in New York. Some of the previous meetings should have been in New York, but they were afraid to come to New York. And now, since there is a majority of people on the board from New York, they were able to right that ship and have it sail into New York, and they'll be here this weekend. We don't have the location as of yet, but it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And as soon as that location is given out, I do hope that all of the people who listen and can make it down, come out and see this process, come out and get involved in this process. It is their involvement that'll make it a much richer process. So I'm just hoping that people will come out.
So how can people stay in touch to get the information on where it's going to be?
Well, one of the places that they can call is Concerned Friends of WBAI, and their number is
1-800-825-0055.
That's it. 1-800-825-0055, and they can find out from them exactly when the meeting is going to be held, when the public session will be held, and hopefully they will come out. It's ironic that in the mornings when the people are being asked to come out, when they go to the phone calls, this issue has not died. That the majority of the phone calls wind up getting cut off. As of this morning, people kept hearing the phrase, say goodbye, because people keep raising this issue. They're not going to let it die. They're not going to let this go without a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad in the morning that Marjorie keeps asking people to come out, because they should come out and see the information and make their decisions based on information, not based on these attacks that have been taking place over the last 13 months.
Hmm. And there's another event happening earlier this week?
Well, you know, there was an event tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Where the local advisory board attempted to have its regular meeting at the radio station, and they were turned away again. You know, so this defiance at WBAI is only strengthening.
Right, and that is in defiance of the actual local bylaws of the station.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
In contravention of the local bylaws.
Right. It started with Utrice Lee, who not only did not let the local advisory board meet as it had historically done, she had people arrested. Janice K. Bryant was arrested. Miguel Maldonado, the chair of the board at that time, was also arrested, along with seven other people who spent something like 36 hours in jail. Janice has not been able to come on and tell that story. She nor Miguel nor Vicente Panama Alba have been able to come on to tell the story about how that took place, too. And a lot of listeners don't even know that these folks were arrested for trying to hold.
Nobody was arrested tonight, though.
No. I guess they kind of knew that they would not be allowed to have the meeting, but they wanted to exercise their right, and so they came up to see if they could hold the meeting at the station, and they were turned away by the station manager, Robert Daughtry.
And the meeting was held elsewhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, each time they do something like that, it just shows more clearly the problems that we're having here at WBAI and how they need to be resolved. I think Jabel Fine being on the air, coming on Democracy Now, and making the ludicrous statement about how he didn't get anything from Pacifica, he just got something from Leslie Kagan, and Leslie is the chair of the board. I think the people around the country saw that what's happening at WBAI is a situation that needs to be resolved post-haste.
All right. Well, Bernard, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Marsh Orthodox Radio Crusade.
Well, thank you for allowing me on your last broadcast.
I see that my contagious optimism is catching.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a shame that so many people who were at WBAI, who did decent programs, who raised questions and tried to have an open forum about some of these issues that are taking place, have been summarily dismissed without any real reason for the dismissal. It is a misuse of the gag rule. The gag rule was originally set up to stop people from talking negatively about their colleagues. And it seems that the people, in a real reversal of logic, the people who consistently talk negatively about their colleagues are the ones who wind up being taken off the air. And those people who are just trying to get information out...
No, you mean the opposite.
Yes, just the opposite.
Right.
Those people who are trying to get information out are being taken off the air, and the other folks are given promotions. And it seems like there is also some trouble in paradise, where you have Santiago Nieves, who was removed from the morning, no explanation given to the listeners, and Clayton Riley, who was one of our best organizers, has been placed back on the air. And it's just a matter of time before he self-destructs again.
Mm.
There'll be another meltdown in the near future. He just cannot control himself, and he's one of their biggest liabilities.
I'd rather keep the topic on the political principles involved rather than the personalities. But I mean, in fact, this broadcast which went out this morning was, this is sort of our problem with it, is that it was focusing on the personalities. And this is the irony, in fact, of, purportedly they were not airing Democracy Now! Because it was talking about internal politics, and they spent 10 minutes talking about the internal politics of that decision.
it's a bizarre set of circumstances that we're in, existing in right now.
And yet, despite your tongue-in-cheek line about this being my swan song program, which it probably is, you nonetheless maintain that there is light at the end of the tunnel and is not an oncoming train.
Right, that's right. I do believe that it's inevitable that this cannot continue. That listeners have rejected it. Yes, there are a few listeners who have come on since December 22nd who don't know exactly just how good WBAI can be, and that they are not enough to sustain WBAI. See, what happens, too, when you begin to focus just on one community to the exclusion of others, it becomes very difficult to sustain WBAI. You have to make an appeal to all of the various communities and do things that they all think are important and responsible in order for BAI to exist. And they're not doing that. I don't know whether they... I guess they just don't understand it. You got a lot of folks there now who really don't understand how WBAI and Pacifica operates, and they have another agenda that's going to that's not going to lead them to any solvency.
Yeah, well, it's about building solidarity, and you know that's not easy. You don't mean to be glib about it. It always involves an internal struggle. It's the only way that it's done. And it's not an easy or a neat, you know, process. It's always a sloppy and difficult process, as struggle and democracy inevitably are. But there's a lot of us who feel that BAI has dropped that ball over the past year, and I certainly hope that we can pick it back up again.
Well, and I think that once we get back, you know, we just need to do good programming. We just need to focus on the issues. There's so much that has not been discussed, that has not been analyzed, that has not been placed before the listeners, that, there's far more important things to do than to sit around and talk badly about each other.
Hear, hear. Bernard White, WBAI's once and perhaps future program director. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
And thank you very much, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So I feel we've now given our requisite 45 minutes to the hard, cold, stark reality of the crisis here at Pacifica and here at WBAI. We have more than paid our dues, and we have once again risked all by exercising our sacred right, the freedom of speech, which means nothing unless you are willing to risk all to exercise it. And now, having done so, let us venture in the 45 minutes remaining to us on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade into the question of escapism.
Looked quite good. hits the grass, fresh air at last.
Floyd's classic first album, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, 1967. By far the best thing they ever recorded. All of you people who are trying to call in to talk about BAI Dirty Laundry, hang up now. We're not going there. We're just not, okay? Some other time. Not today. Hooray. The show which I had planned on The Lord of the Rings, I hope that we're going to do next week on the somewhat unlikely assumption that we're going to be on the air next week, far more unlikely now than it was 45 minutes ago. Meanwhile, I'm going to regale you all with a little bit, with some words of J.R.R. Tolkien himself. Fear not, this is not from The Lord of the Rings. I am not going to inflict any actual prose from The Lord of the Rings on you, but rather something which he wrote, which deals with precisely the dilemma that I found myself faced with this evening of having wanted to do a show about hobbits and elves, and instead having wound up doing a show about having risked my continued access to these airwaves by doing what I just did, because I sort of had this feeling that not to do so would have been escapism. But Tolkien would take issue with my use of that word, as he makes quite clear in the following essay on fairy stories, which originally appeared under the title of in a book entitled Tree and Leaf, an essay in a series in a book which contained a series of essays in short fiction entitled Tree and Leaf, which would have been published in 1964, but was reissued in 1966 under the title The Tolkien Reader, Stories, Poems, and Commentary by the author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. And I'll give a station ID now so as to not have to interrupt myself in the middle of his reading. It is now 6 minutes of 1 o'clock in the morning. On listener supported, non-commercial, still very much under siege, WBAI 99.5 FM. You're listening to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and I am Bill Weinberg in the studio with our engineer, Bob McGill. And writes our hero, what did the J stand for again? Doesn't seem to say. Well, I'll just say J.R.R. Tolkien. I should dig out his complete name. Sort of embarrassed that I don't know it. I have claimed that escape is one of the main functions of fairy stories, and since I do not disapprove of them, it is plain that I do not accept the tone of scorn and pity with which escape is now so often used. A tone for which the uses of the word outside literary criticism give no warrant at all. In what the misusers are fond of calling real life, escape is evidently, as a rule, very practical, and it may even be heroic. In real life, it is difficult to blame it unless it fails. In criticism, it would seem to be the worse, the better it succeeds. Evidently, we are faced by a misuse of words, and also by a confusion of thought. Why should a man be scorned if, finding himself in prison, he tries to get out and go home? Or if, when he cannot do so, he thinks and talks about other topics than jailers and prison walls? The world outside has not become less real because the prisoner cannot see it. In using escape in this way, the critics have chosen the wrong word, and what is more, they are confusing, not always by sincere error, the escape of the prisoner with the flight of the deserter. Just so a party spokesman might have labeled departure from the misery of the Führers or any other Reich, and even criticism of it as treachery. In the same way, these critics, to make confusion worse, and so to bring into contempt their opponents, stick their label of scorn not only to desertion, but to real escape. And what often are its companions? Disgust, anger, condemnation, and revolt. Not only do they confound the escape of the prisoner with the flight of the deserter, but they would seem to prefer the acquiescence of the quisling to the resistance of the patriot. To such thinking, you have only to say, "The land you love is doomed," to excuse any treachery, indeed, to glorify it. For a trifling instance, not to mention, indeed, not to parade electric street lamps of mass-produced pattern in your tale, is escape in that sense. But it may, almost certainly does, proceed from a considered disgust for so typical a product of the robot age that combines elaboration and ingenuity of means with ugliness and often inferiority of result. These lamps may be excluded from the tale simply because they are bad lamps. And it is possible that one of the lessons to be learned from the story is the realization of this fact. But out comes the big stick. Electric lamps have come to stay, they say. Not long ago, Chesterton truly remarked that as soon as he heard that anything had come to stay, he knew that it would soon be replaced. Indeed, regarded as pitiably obsolete and shabby. Well, I'm not so sure that Chesterton was right about the electric lamp. The march of science, its tempo quickened by the needs of war, goes inexorably on, making some things obsolete and foreshadowing new developments in the utilization of electricity. An advertisement. This says the same thing, only more menacingly. The electric street lamp may indeed be ignored simply because it is so insignificant and transient. Fairy stories, at any rate, have many more permanent and fundamental things to talk about. Lightning, for example. And certainly we can venture to guess that lightning, which was here a long time before the electric light, will be here for a long time after the electric light is gone, no matter how long our particular mode of industrial civilization lasts. Forgive my parenthetical interjections here. The escapist is not so subservient to the whims of evanescent fashion as these opponents. He does not make things, which may be quite rational to regard as bad, his masters or his gods by worshipping them as inevitable, even inexorable. and his opponents, so easily contemptuous, have no guarantee that he will stop there. He might rouse men to pull down the street lamps. Escapism has another and even wickeder face.